Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And welcome back to season two of The Goddess Vibration. And we are so excited that you're here. And we are so excited to be here. This is officially episode number 40. And that is so awesome.
It's 41.
Oh, is it 41?
It is.
I'm sorry, I can't count. Episode 41. And that is so awesome. So yes, this marks the official launch of season two, and we have a lot in store for this season, including a lot of really awesome guests, and we're going to be bold, and we're going to try to secure a celebrity guest. Who knows who that might be, but that is something that we are aiming for, and on August 8th, 2024, that will mark the official launch of our podcast community, which we are currently calling the Higher Vibe Tribe, but that's not a permanent name because the goal is for everyone who joins the community to get a say in the official name of the tribe.
We just decided that it's all of ours, and so I actually loved the idea when it came across Tiara's mind about making everyone involved in this decision. Obviously, we can't go nameless forever. So obviously it's going to apply to like the early birds, people who are loyal to listening to the podcast, who want to be part of a community with Tiara and I. And so there obviously will be a time limit. We can't just go nameless forever, but for the early birds and anyone who wants to get in early, that will actually be an incentive to be able to participate in choosing the name in our community.
Yes. So as you can see, we have a lot in store for season two. We're both really, really excited. And this episode, we're going to launch off talking about, you know, this is a topic that Allie and I have been, you know, kind of wrestling with a little bit. It relates to what's going on the planet as far as humans trying to ascend and trying to get to that next stage of evolution. But ultimately, the question that we're asking today is, can humans do it? Like, can humans actually master the earth realm, and you know, can they make the necessary changes to shift to those higher frequencies? And I'm going to be honest with you guys, I am a human soul and I have no idea. I don't know the answer to that. I know what I'm seeing and I know what I'm experiencing, but as to a definitive like yes or no, I don't know, man. It's rough out there.
Tiara is correct. It is rough out there, but I want to backtrack real quick and talk about souls and just kind of give a very quick overview as to what we are referencing. So that, as most people know and can find out from the internet, there are like shy or around 8 billion souls on this planet. So what Tiara is referencing is her being a human soul. Well, souls can be from anywhere, right? Like, that's why we have star seeds. Star seeds can be from, I don't know, Andromeda, Orion, Pleiadians. They're like Arcturians. There's so many where souls come from, all over the universe, and they just so happen to reincarnate here on Earth. But then there's also human souls. And so what we are talking about in particularly today is about the human souls. Now, to give reference, I remember asking a being that we were channeling. We were actually discussing human souls. Now, I just referenced that there's 8 billion there's 8 billion souls on this planet right now. So when I asked how many human souls have been created, I remember hearing the answer of 5 billion human souls. Well, if there's 8 billion of us, that means 3 billion of us, we don't have human souls. So what we're talking about in particular today is those people who are human souls and the struggles that they have when they come to Earth.
Yes, and those struggles are real. And, you know, I know that Earth is a school, so I can't tell if it's just like by design, like, hey, you know that, yeah, this is a tough place. It's meant to be a tough place. But at the end of the day, like, the struggles are so significant that I think a lot of souls, particularly human souls, just have a rough time. So when I say like some of the struggles on this planet, I'm talking about things like the cabal, or what some people might refer to as the, you know, the satanic lineages that control this planet. We like to refer to it or them as the cabal. And essentially they control everything. They control like our programming and tell us what to do and influence, you know, our thoughts and our behaviors. And they're willing to go to such extremes to do so, to the point of not just like in your face programming, societal programming that many of us for the most part are familiar with, especially if you're in the West, but also like subconscious, subliminal programming and like crazy stuff like, and you know, a long time ago, I thought this was a conspiracy, but I don't think it is anymore. How there are certain songs where if you listen to them backwards or if you can read between the lines, you will hear negative satanic programming and like demonic stuff. Like to that extent is what we're talking about. They go as far as using like this exotic technology, which, you know, depending on how deep your belief goes, you may or may not believe. I am of the belief that they do go to these extremes. And this is information that I saw on ascensionglossary.com, where there's essentially this technology that affects our auras, that keeps it, you know, in a lower vibrational state, that influences our thoughts and, you know, our behaviors and makes us think and feel negative things. And then you have all these imposter energies that, you know, if you're a channeler or even if you're not a channeler, they will come by and say things to you and make you think things that aren't true. You know, for me, it's gone even further where I have had to deal with, you know, sabotage, not only from other energies, but also self-sabotage. And I'm a split soul without an emotional body. So I don't have the ability to process emotions, have the emotional awareness and the emotional intelligence like other people do. I just lack those skills. So that's made it even more difficult, especially for me. So, you know, if you put all these things together, like it is a massive uphill battle. And, you know, in my opinion, I think it's understandable that so many people are struggling right now.
I agree that people are struggling, but Tiara's story is very unique and doesn't apply to the masses. So her perspective is more of a one-sided perspective just based on her experiences. And I think that's something that we need to highlight in this episode. I would love for Tiara to actually do an episode on what it means to be a split soul and kind of break that down, because in the first episode, I know we've talked a lot about her story, but I think, and what I've heard, it's a little confusing, and it is confusing. It we've even talked about, Tiara has even joked about making visuals, and she's like, I think I need to make like a family, like something similar to a family tree and something like, you know, with pictures and arrows. And
right. And I can like, you know, upload it to the community for, you know, reference. But yeah, no, my story is so complex and it's crazy. And it's like this soul here and then this soul split here. And then there's like these two souls that are the same soul, but they're not the same soul. Oh, okay. But they hate each other. It's just like, it's like a K-drama on acid. Like that's what my soul story. So no, I am more than willing to talk about that. If there's any interest in that, I'd love to, you know, and I don't mind making a PowerPoint or a family tree to help break it down. If you guys have any interest in that, I can't gauge the interest in that, but hey, if that's there, I have no problem doing it.
It also just might bring clarity. So I will say that Tiara's perspective is very unique based on her own experiences. Now, I do think human souls struggle, and Earth is not an easy place to be. And really what makes Earth even more difficult behind all of the control and the cabal and the societal programming, and this is, you know, how you succeed and how we're enslaved to the matrix and how we're enslaved to the system. What also makes this journey so difficult for anyone, whether you're a human soul or not, is free will. And I think free will needs to be talked about. I know that we have talked about it a little bit in last season, but we have to understand the impact that free will actually has on us when it comes to something that Tiara just talked about, which is self-sabotage. I don't think people really realize or have the awareness to understand the significance of self-sabotage and how we actually do it to ourselves all the time, whether we realize it or not. And so I think we also have to look at, if you don't have the self-awareness that you're self-sabotaging, then how do you know you're doing anything right or wrong?
Absolutely. Like the whole self-sabotage concept is just so, gosh, it's so tricky and it's so devastating and deadly. And it's like, essentially, if you are doing anything that isn't in alignment with your heart or your best and highest, and you continue to do that, it will lead to self-sabotage over time. And I know, particularly for my soul and even the souls in my soul family, a lot of us have had this issue with self-sabotage, and it's just been repeating over and over and over. And, you know, I honestly don't think that we really talk about self-sabotage enough in our society and how it affects us. You know, we always talk about mental health, and we talk about, you know, mental health conditions and how those can impact you on a daily. But when you get underneath that, there's so much more to those mental health matters that we have. The mental health issues manifest because of things like self-sabotage and the karma that we're carrying and the issues that we're having with processing it and the struggles with the ego. So, you know, I would be happy to talk about self-sabotage in an entire episode, because I think there's enough there that I think a lot of people could probably relate to in some aspects, because we all self-sabotage here and there in little ways. But I don't think it's talked about in regards to how it really keeps us from getting to where we want to be.
And it does keep us from getting from where we want to be, because self-sabotage is really linked to our egos. And ego is a very dangerous thing. I don't think ego is talked about enough, because our egos are here to tell us we're wrong, even, or we're right, even if we're wrong.
Mm, yeah.
So if we're telling ourselves, oh, like, I know me best, I know what's right, I know what's right for me. Well, if you think that, who is going to come in and say, actually, you're wrong? But if you're telling yourself, no, like, I know me better than anybody, which should be true, it's going to be very hard to convince you otherwise that maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's another path. Maybe you need to look at yourself. And when it comes to that stance of you need to look at yourself, that's when people get defensive. That's when people start making excuses. That's when people start playing victim. That's when people start, you know, they are going to stick up for themselves. And I completely understand that you should stick up for yourself. But you also need to be able to have the self-awareness to say, you know what? I was wrong. And so many people can just not bring themselves to do that.
So many people. And I just think about, like, you know, I've been one of those people, and I see it in, like, my family and my friends. And I'm just like, man, like, getting to that level of self-awareness and getting past the ego, it is not easy, man. And for me, it has been so, so hard. And I don't know if it's just because of, you know, I'm the mental body. So again, as the mental body, I'm more analytical. I'm more, you know, about thoughts and rationality and that which is logical. Like, that's just kind of who I am at my core being. And so trying to get past the ego using logic it's hard. So, you know, for me, it's been a huge, huge struggle. And I can only imagine how difficult it is for others who, you know, are in those states where they are self-sabotaging. Because Allie's right. Like, once you get to that place where it's like, you know, you need to look at yourself, that's when the walls go up. And it just, I don't know why that happens. I think it's just kind of human nature. I think it's a
defense mechanism.
Yeah, it is. And for some reason, like, I also think the psyche tries to protect itself, or, like, I know that a lot of people carry a lot of deep hurt and wounding, and there's a lot of people that don't want to go and look at that because that's hard. That's really hard. And, you know, I don't think that society does us a service when it comes to, like, trauma, because, you know, there already is this stigma around trauma. But also, depending on your school of thought, there are people who will say, oh, well, if you're going to do trauma work, you need to be careful with that because you could re-traumatize yourself. And, you know, you could make yourself worse if you try doing that. And you need to make sure you've got a specialist, or you need to make sure you got medication, or, you know, the trauma, it's deadly. You shouldn't go that route. You need, you know, support or help, and be careful with that. And so I think that, you know, people kind of get uncertain when it comes to some of this work because we're getting so many different messages. So yeah, I mean, the ego is just tricky to navigate. And then also, you know, there's societal programming. So things that we've been told that we believe growing up, you know, especially in the West, things like, for example, and Allie has talked about this before, where in the West, we've been trained that, you know, when we graduate high school, we need to go to college and take on debt and get a job and work that 9 to 5 and get our pension, our retirement. And if you waver from that, then you're a slacker. You know, just like little things like that, that we've grown up believing that are really not truths. They're just there to control us and to keep us away from our best and highest. So, you know, it is a lot to navigate, and it requires a lot of work, a lot of intention, and a lot of courage, because you're going to need that courage and strength to get past the ego.
Would you say that ego is more tied to free will?
I'd say so, yes. I mean, I feel like the ego's job is to, I feel like it's meant to protect us, but I also feel like it can be a huge hindrance. And, you know, when it comes to free will, we have to make these choices. And oftentimes we make these choices based on patterns, programming, and what we know. And I guess if you consider as a whole, like the programming and the wounding and the patterns and the things we know, and, you know, you kind of look at that collectively, I suppose you could say that that's still all ego. I'm under the belief that a lot of the programming and the patterns and the trauma influences how the ego works. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I'm just kind of curious. I understand why. Let me back up. In the spiritual community, I believe the consensus about free will is that free will is such a gift. And I know some people have opposing opinions and opposing views on free will being such a gift. I see both sides. I think free will in many ways is a blessing and a curse, because even if a path was specific to you, or, you know, things that you're supposed to learn, or things that, you know, things that you're supposed to achieve in a lifetime. I mean, the beauty thing about free will is that even though those things are written for you, you can choose a different path. And I think that that is something actually really valuable. And I think it presents the opportunity to learn a lot more very quickly versus reincarnating on other planets or in other places.
So you're saying that free will could make the process faster and easier for us if we choose the proper path, like as far as like the ascension and the expansion process?
Well, no, TR, you started the episode saying that you know that Earth is a school. Mm-hmm. So if Earth is a school, and if we're given, like, you know, this crazy amount of free will that we only get here on Earth, then why wouldn't it give you more opportunity to learn things more quickly? Why wouldn't it, even if you were to do something wrong, right? Even if you didn't get it right the first time, well, that's the whole point of a school. That's the whole point of learning. That's the whole point of coming back to this planet to continue to go through these same lessons until it's learned.
Right. And the tricky thing about that is, say, for example, you don't choose a path that's for your best and highest, and you kind of waver away from, you know, what your heart is desiring. Because we do this a lot on Earth. I don't quite fully know what it is. I'm seeing the impact it has on spirits. But, like, we want something in our hearts, you know, and, you know, it's a desire, and it's there, and there's a part of us that recognizes that. But the choice that we make is like complete opposite of what's there. And when you do those kinds of things, that's when you start to develop more karma. So once you do that, and you know, start to shift away from what your heart's desiring, and you start to create more karma, now you're getting to a place where you have to learn through making, I don't know if I want to say mistakes, through making choices that are out of alignment with yourself. And then that's when you can start to like get to this place where you're having to come back and learn the lessons again, because for whatever reason, you're choosing a path that's not for your best and highest. I think the reason why people do that is because those actions and choices are being driven from a wounded place, you know, which makes sense. But at the end of the day, it does make the journey a little bit more tricky or tumultuous, you know, however you want to look at it. So
I'm not claiming it's not tricky or tumultuous. I'm just saying that I think there is this stigma around free will on people, the consensus being like, oh, free will is such a gift. And I actually do see that point of view. I do think it is a gift, but I also see your point of view in saying like free will can also set us back.
Right, exactly. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, ends up becoming another lesson.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. Everything is really a blessing. Like, I used to think when I was younger, like, oh, that's such a coincidence. And what a coincidence. And now that I am older and wiser, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that everything happens for a reason. And I really do believe that if you have the emotional intelligence and if you have the self-awareness to be able to recognize that everything happens for a reason, and if you're able to make mistakes gracefully and learn forgiveness to yourself and to others, then you are actually able to embrace and learn and grow from those experiences. Because I feel like part of the reason why people get so stuck and defensive and all the other things that we've listed in the past is because people don't like to admit that they've done something wrong. People don't like people have this. That's why perfectionism is a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing is perfect. And people have this idea like, oh, perfectionism. And I have to do everything perfectly. And I have to get it right the first time. And I'm just kind of like, well, why do you think that? Why do you feel that? Mm. Why is that there?
Yes, absolutely. And I know I struggle with that and still do. Like, when it comes to the perfectionism and like not getting it right the first time, not knowing the answers the first time, not having it figured out the way I quote unquote think I should. And that can lead to paralysis because you tell yourself this story that, you know, I should get it right. I should know the answer. I should figure it out. I should have this perfected. But then when you don't, it ends up affecting your worth. And then you kind of do like this negative spiral where you're like, oh, well, I didn't have it figured out. I didn't have it perfect. There must be something wrong with me. What am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why do I bother? And that's a very deadly cycle. It is a very deadly cycle. And it's an unfortunate one. And it's also unfortunately quite common because I see these stories of people who are stuck in these perfectionistic patterns, which, by the way, does come from childhood wounding that need to be perfect. There's also a lot of societal patterning and programming around that, too. But ultimately, I do see it a lot, and it will be rough if you are stuck in that belief, because it makes trying to ascend difficult, because essentially to really get to that place, you have to be able to look at your flaws. And when you're a perfectionist, seeing those flaws is just, it's rough. It's rough. Looking at them and seeing them and realizing that, oh my gosh, I'm not perfect. What does that say about me? Like, that's hard to reconcile. You know, and I know that that's been really hard for me. So yeah, like those patterns are very, very tricky, and it makes this type of work even more difficult because you have to get to the root of that first before you can even think that you can start to make the changes necessary to expand.
So ultimately, the question that's being asked is, can humans master Earth? And my stance is yes, humans can absolutely master Earth. I just think that without self-awareness and being able to see bigger pictures and be able to look at, if you're not able to look at yourself, mastering this realm is going to be near impossible. So the ultimate question is, can humans do it? Yes, humans can do it, but it's not going to be easy. And people don't like things that are not easy, you know, especially when it has to come to themselves and when it has to come to admitting things to yourself and, you know, taking off your own invisible goggles that you have on yourself and really be able to look at yourself. I'm not saying it's pleasant. It's not pleasant. I had to go through it. I had to analyze, dissect their behavior, my behavior, what might have led to the rift, what led to the argument. I had to go deep and figure out why I was feeling the way that I was feeling about certain people in my life. I carried a lot of shame and guilt that I was repressing. If you're not able to be able to introspect and reflect and go deep in there and look at everything, including yourself, yes, you are going to struggle, and there's a very high probability you are not going to master this realm. But for those who are brave enough to do it, even if you need help with it, like, you should. If here's the other thing before I finish that thought. People, I think it's a pride thing. People don't want to ask for help. I was there. I didn't want to get help. And I think it's a pride. I know for me personally, it was a pride thing where I was just like, well, you know, this is my problem. I didn't really want to talk about my problems with other people. That was another reason why I tried to do it by myself, because, you know, it's a lot of personal things. And it's like, you don't want to talk about it with another human being, because it's like, in a way, they could be your mirror. That's why mirroring is such a thing. And this is why people get triggered, because when they're interacting with someone, because if someone triggers you, then they're being that mirror that you don't want to look at. So there's a lot of moving pieces to this. But I do think that if you have an open heart and an open mind, and if you're willing to step forward and take that journey inward, yes, I do think human beings can master this realm. It's not going to be easy, though.
You know, I want to go back to the lack of self-awareness, because I know I have this issue, but I also see it like in my family environment, and I'm wondering if a big component of why it's such a thing is because of the patterning and the programming that has really pushed us into existing from a masculine space. Again, particularly in the West, where the emphasis and focus is on, you know, success and achieving and excelling and being the best and, like, you know, rising up the corporate ladder, which in and of itself does put you in a masculine energetic state. And when you're in that state, you end up neglecting some of that feminine yin essence. That's the emotional components, like the emotional intelligence and being able to have that emotional awareness and, you know, being able to relate to others from an emotional place. And again, now it comes down to overcoming societal programming, which again, in and of itself is also difficult. So when we're talking about this process, we're not talking about any one thing. Like, we're not just talking about, hey, you need to be able to do the inner work, but you also have to be able to do the outer work too, and see how your environments and the way you were raised and the things you've been taught from childhood have influenced your behavior and some of your thinking.
So speaking of this, so I've known, Tiara and I have known each other for almost 11 years now, which is wild. And it was really spending so much time, like Tiara and I have known each other forever and we're very close, but I would say that these past 6 months was like the first time Tiara and I have spent a significant amount of time together since we lived together 11 years ago when we were roommates. And I'd say that we both got to learn a lot about each other, but in a very like different light. I've been assisting Tiara with her healing journey and I've been assisting in her spiritual journey. And, you know, we really started to dive deep into like my childhood versus her childhood. And it kind of dawned on me, and this has dawned on me like a while ago, it's just kind of something that came and went, but it came back. And I realized that us children are really like a product of our environment. And, you know, it's almost to a T, because Tiara grew up like kind of in a neglected household and they were just kind of raised themselves in a lot of ways. And it kind of left them in that masculine energy to, you know, figure out life and figure out how to support yourself and rely on yourself. And for me, like I grew up in a very like freer thinking spiritual kind of household where my parents, you know, taught us more about life and things that we need to know. Like my parents in many ways kind of fought the system. Like my parents always told me like, hey, you don't need to go to school. You don't need college. You know, especially with the major, I was a business major and my parents were just like, you don't really need a business degree for that. Like you can just start on the bottom and work your way up, which is essentially very true in business. Now, I'm not saying a degree isn't necessary. It absolutely is if you, you know, want to do something special like law, doctor. I think degrees are very important in those instances, but something like liberal arts and business, you can just teach yourself that stuff. Like you don't need a degree. And depending on what path you want to choose, like my parents always set very realistic expectations to really like what's going on in life. Like the school thing, my parents were like, in business, you can just work your way up. You don't need a degree for that. And then, you know, what's another example? My parents always very pushed us to be very independent. Like our parents never made me feel afraid of the world, which is how I became a world traveler. So I think it's very just interesting, like how we really are entwined with our environment as children and the teachings of our parents.
Right. And it's really interesting being a product of your environment. I think that that really impacts us more than we realize. And, you know, if you see a therapist or a counselor who knows what they're doing, they will speak to you about that and they understand that. But I just think outside of that clinical environment, we don't put enough, in my opinion, I don't think we put enough focus and emphasis on how our upbringing does affect us. I do want to clarify that my environment wasn't neglectful when it came to like practical needs, like food, nourishment, shelter. We were very well provided for in that regard. The neglect was more of at the emotional level. So like the nurturing, the emotional support, feeling like I could talk to someone, that was what was missing. And being taught that, you know, expression of emotional needs is important was also missing. And I know that there are a lot of people who have experienced that as well. So if you feel like you were in that type of environment or upbringing, it might really make sense to look at that and see how it has affected some of your beliefs and some of your thinking, because there's a good chance that it probably does in more ways than you recognize.
It absolutely does. And I mean, especially if you have siblings too. Now, Tiara and I are a little bit different in this sense. Tiara was actually the oldest of three, and I was the youngest of three. And I think the older sibling has a very different responsibility from the youngest sibling. So, I mean, we do have different, like, perspectives on that. But in many ways, like, you know, Tiara kind of was the thing about being the oldest sibling is that you kind of become that role model. You kind of become like, if you're in a neglected environment, you kind of become the parent. And versus me being the youngest, I just got to stay the kid and figure it out.
You know, it's really interesting. Like, I noticed when it comes to like the oldest sibling and like the youngest, like oftentimes in dating dynamics, the person that was the oldest sibling will date like the youngest sibling. Or you'll see like friends where like the youngest siblings is friends with someone else who's the oldest sibling. Like, it's kind of weird how that dynamic works, but I see that a lot in dating. I just thought that was interesting. I don't know what that's all about. I just think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. But I just think that there's many contributing factors to why people are struggling today. And I think there is no one answer. There is no right answer, and there is no wrong answer. It's really going to come down to the individual and what that individual wants, and does that individual have the mental fortitude to want to be better and want to improve? I believe that anything can be learned with practice. Obviously, some people are gifted and can pick it up right away, and others may need an extra hand, and that's okay. Both are okay. There is no wrong way. There is no right way. And I think once you can remove the pride and ego of, well, it's got to be done this way or it's wrong, or it's got to be done like this, or it's never going to happen. I think once people can get past their own ego and pride, that is when opportunities present itself to be able to master this realm. I think anyone can master this realm if they are willing to. Well, first of all, you have to want it bad enough. And second of all, you have to be willing to put in the work. Even when times get hard, you have to have the mental fortitude to push forward.
Right. And I know in the current state of the world, people are really struggling with mental fortitude. I see it everywhere. I see people, you know, burnt out from the 9-to-5 hustle, trying to figure out how they're going to survive, wanting something different, wanting something better, and just struggling with the fortitude that's necessary to get to that next place and to make that happen. Like, you know, not everyone has that fortitude, you know, and I did for a very long time. You know, again, I'm a very type A person. I've always been driven. I've always been very ambitious, but I'm not lying or joking to you when I say that being on this journey has tested that to the point where I question going forward. Like, and I, again, I'm not lying. That is 100% honest, that it has tested me to the extremes. To the point where, again, like, I, you know, got to this place where I was like, can I do this? Can I continue to move forward with this? You know? So mental fortitude is real, and it's a big thing. And how do you cultivate that? And where do you get that from? You know, at the end of the day, I think it's just something innate. And I think it's just it comes from that place inside you that wants your best and highest. And you have to connect to that, and you have to find that if you want something better for yourself. So, you know, I know it's not easy, and my heart goes out to all those human souls who are struggling. Like, they know deep down they want something better and different, but it's just they're struggling for whatever reason. You know, I know what that struggle is like. So, you know, I do understand.
And I understand too. I absolutely understand too. I have a different perspective because I'm not a split soul. Like, I do have my emotional body intact, and I can speak firsthand that the emotional body is equally as important as the mental body, because each present a very different skill level of what is necessary to be able to survive on this planet.
Yeah, I just want to share that if you are not a split soul, you have everything you need to succeed and excel and get to that next place. You have everything you need. I know it might not seem like it, and it might not feel like it, and it might not look like it, but you are all you need, and you have what you need. And yeah, maybe you might need some assistance. Maybe you might need some guidance, but you have all the tools there, right there within yourself to get to that place.
You absolutely do. And that's why, like, when I presented this for a topic to talk about, Tiara was like, well, I just want to be really honest about my journey. And I said, good, you should be honest about your journey. But I also feel that there's another perspective that we can provide in the episode. And I'm telling you that if you have both the mental body and the emotional body, I'm not claiming it's easy. I'm not claiming that people can't have the stomach for it. I'm not claiming everyone can do it. I'm just claiming that you absolutely, with the right amount of focus, and if you have that mental fortitude to succeed in it, you can master this plane. You can master Earth.
And I would love to see some humans master Earth. Like, do you know the kind of, like, achievement that would be? You know, again, I don't know that we know if any human souls have ever mastered Earth, but everyone's being given this opportunity right now. And again, as I mentioned, you know, everyone for the most part has what they need and has the tools to be able to get to that next place. It's just a matter of, can you muster up the fortitude to do so? And, you know, I think that's the bigger question, and that's an individual question for each person.
Right. And I think another individual thing is, can you remove your pride and ego? Now, you obviously can't kill your ego. Your ego is always going to be a part of you. It's just about maintaining. It's about keeping your ego in check and learning how to balance your ego. That is actually the best solution anyone can do who have big egos, is to find balance with your ego and being able to have the self-awareness to keep your ego in check. I would say that those are some of the most well-balanced, successful people are the people who can do that.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, we wanted to paint a picture in regards to mastering the Earth realm, the struggles that come with that, what it might take to do so. You know, we didn't have this conversation to discourage anyone or to make anyone feel like it's not possible or impossible. But we did want to make it realistic. You know, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be an uphill battle, whether you're a split soul or not. So, you know, I do hope that painting a little bit more of a realistic picture will at least help some of you guys when it comes to expectations if you're looking to take that next step and if you're trying to expand and find your true and best self.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like this episode is coming at a very crucial time. I believe that the Great Awakening is in full effect. I feel as if the veil is thinning and things are being more exposed and the people that are bringing awareness to it being like, wait, what is this? Or this doesn't feel right. Or how come we didn't notice all of that before? I think that one's hitting a lot of people in the face right now. It's like, wait, what? That has been going on for decades and decades. And all of a sudden it's coming out now. Like, what?
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of that. Right. And I think that as that is like, there's a reason why all of that is happening. It's because we are in a spiritual war. And Gaia is fully ascending the entire planet, and she is splitting into her new earth. And an ascension update, you guys, Gaia is actually in the final stages of her ascension process. Now, that's part of the reason why the veil is thinning. That's why more darkness is being exposed, because Gaia is moving away from this 3D dimensional place that is based on fear and control. And the cabal has a very strong hold on this planet. So now is really the time. I mean, you should have been working on it. Anyone who follows like Dolores Cannon, she has been saying for the past, I don't know, decade or two, you really should be working on yourself. You really should be working on ascension, because Gaia is ascending. The whole planet is ascending. We're moving into a new Earth. The 5D Earth is going to be called Terra. And I just was like, Tiara, like, you know, if we are going to use our platform, this is the time that we need to really be expressing and talking about ascension and really like what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, energetically speaking, there is a lot going on. You know, the thinning of the veil thing is, it's so interesting, because I feel like, as Ali was saying, a lot of people are starting to see the darkness for what it is, and their minds are exploding. And then I'm just like, you know, hey, I kind of knew that this was going on some level. And I think all of us know that the depth of this darkness has been there for some time. It's just different when it's being thrown in your face. And I think that that's something a lot of people are contending with right now. And it's only gonna increase, you guys. It's we're gonna see more of it. So strap in your seatbelts, because things are gonna start to get even more interesting from here.
Right. You know, I know that it might not be the most pleasant experience, 3D physical living, but in terms of a spiritual sense, like, you know, every ascended master, cosmic master says like, oh, you guys are so lucky to be on Earth right now. It's like the most interesting time to be alive. Goodness. And so pending on, obviously, your perspective, I mean, I know, like, from a spiritual perspective, like, they are right. It is actually an amazing time to be alive, to be chosen to come here and reincarnate here and have the option to ascend with Gaia into the new Earth. And that is an opportunity that 8 billion souls have been blessed with. Now the question is what do you want to do about it?
Right. I think a lot of us are still figuring that out.
But I think that that's the most important question is, what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the perfect exit to today's episode.
Oh, yes, definitely. So thank you guys so much. If you've been listening to us through season one and you are still here, thank you so much. Congratulations for, you know, sticking with us and joining us to this next step in this next phase. You know, it's been quite a journey for both of us. And if you plan to continue to stick with us and continue to listen to us over this next year, we promise that there will be so much benefit to that. And we will give back to you in the way that you've given to us. So again, thank you guys so much. If you're new to our podcast and this is like your first episode, I would advise that you check out some of the episodes from season one. You don't have to listen to all of them, but there is some really valuable information in some of those episodes and some really interesting, juicy stuff. So please do go check that out. And please do consider sticking with us through season two.
Yes, I just want to jump on here and say thank you so much to everyone. And thank you for your feedback, because your feedback is actually really helpful to us just in regards to topics and feedback about whether or not you understand us or that you can follow us, because, you know, we want you guys to be equally as involved, right? Like, we want to make sure that we get clear messages across. And enough of you have showed interest in our show that have inspired this community to be built. Now, again, this community is coming out August 8th, 2024, and it's going to be 888, the Lionsgate portal. We are so excited. And like I said, the early birds to our community will be able to help us pick out a name. If we can't agree, then Tiara and I guess we'll just pick one for us. But but we want you guys to be involved. And we're so excited about the 888 portal. It's going to be such a magical day. And I'm so excited to be launching a spiritual community on such a magical day. And we just want our soul tribe to bring open-mindedness, open heart, and just bring amazing energy in. And I'm just so excited for this opportunity. And you guys are the reason why we have this opportunity. So I'm so thankful. I'm so excited for season two. And just stay tuned for what we have in store.
Yes, please stay tuned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks, you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No more.